You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Made it to a Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Once again, still down a Danette, although that's up for debate. McLovin is not here. He's still on vacation in Iceland, blending in with everybody else's complexion there. But Fritzy's here. So's Pauly, Seton, and yours truly. Come on in, stay a while. We'll talk to Albert Breer. We'll talk some football with the great insider from the Monday Morning Quarterback. A surprise insider here. Not an insider, I guess, but it might surprise you who has an opinion about Aaron Rodgers' situation in Green Bay. Have that for you coming up. I didn't expect this person to have a say and have feelings about Aaron Rodgers. And this isn't Shailene Woodley's mom. That's his fiance, or maybe it's his wife. I don't know if they've gotten married or not. But she had some comments about what is the real issue with Aaron, that he just feels like they haven't treated him fairly. Like, that's it. Like, she had all these comments where she's like, here's the real deal. It's not about money. He just hasn't been treated fairly. Okay.
This really happened? The mother-in-law?
Yes.
Or the fiance-in-law?
Shailene Woodley's mom had some comments. I don't know who she made them to, but she talked about this is the reason why Aaron, you know, he's upset with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, see.
Look, at watching Entertainment Tonight has really paid off. This is great stuff.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally paid off. Yeah, Paulie.
Well, but that could be really awkward, because if Aaron Rodgers does not want his fiance's mom to talk on his behalf, that's an awkward phone call.
Well, Aaron Rodgers isn't talking on his behalf, so right. I'll take anybody right now who can tell me, is he showing up, and what's the real beef here, and how do they solve that? That's what I want to know. I'm getting ahead of myself. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. The Milwaukee Bucks guard Pat Connaughton will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll check in with the Steelers as well. We'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. And we say good morning to Peacock. That's our streaming partner. Yes, you can watch this show if you like, and download the app. You can watch for free. Also, our radio affiliates around the country, Fox Sports Radio lineup in nearly 400 cities around America that take this award-nominated program. Alabama head coach Nick Saban was probably being honest when he said he had no idea what impact the name, image, and likeness is going to have on college football. It's been 3 weeks so far, and it seems like name, image, and likeness is a success. There's a long way to go, and Saban's right. It's hard to predict the ultimate outcome here on equality in college sports, and will it be threatened here? Alabama's won 6 national titles since 2009. I don't know if we're talking about equality here, but name, image, and likeness, college football, the haves and the have-nots, because you have Alabama's quarterback who hasn't even played, Bryce Young. He's already approaching $1 million from endorsements here. He hasn't started a game yet. Alabama quarterback pays. You could argue that Saban has incentives to keep this status quo, but the SEC schools can't compete with Alabama. But knowing Saban, he'll probably figure out a way to make this all work for him and keep Alabama's dynasty going. I don't think this lessens their chance to win another national championship. I think it strengthens it. Imagine if you're a quarterback, and now you'd want to play at Alabama, and then you know if you start, you're going to make $1 million going to school automatically. We don't even know if he's good. And if you're the offensive line, come on in. Everybody gets $100,000. What is that? Let's say $1 million to a billionaire booster. Nothing. All you got to do is make sure you report it. That's it. I mean, you're going to be everybody's sugar daddy. And it's up front and it's legal. Like, that's the thing. You can go, you can walk around with money falling out of your pockets now. Just go, hey, where'd you get that? Jimmy Lipper, billionaire booster, gave me $100,000 for just blocking for our quarterback. Yeah, Seton.
I wonder if athletes now are going to change the classes that they take. You know how we've always said, you know, if you're there to be a professional athlete, right, you're going to Alabama, you're going to the NFL.
Yeah.
Why don't you take classes about like money management and investing and all of this other stuff? I wonder if kids now, all of a sudden, you're 18, 19 years old and you get that first $1 million and you're like, dang, I better figure out what to do with this.
I wonder if those professors who teach some of these random courses are getting would get a little nervous. All of a sudden, you're going to bring in a real estate person, a financial person there, things that could actually help you in life. Now, the history of Mesopotamia may come up in Trivial Pursuit, but it didn't really help me when I took it at the University of Dayton. Yes, Paulie?
Imagine being like a business professor at Alabama, and the quarterback rolls into class in a Maserati, and you're telling him about business practice.
Yeah, but this is what you need to do with your money. Now there's a report in the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma might be on the verge of joining the SEC. I would say, inching closer to a superpower. It seems like it's moving a little faster than just inching closer to a superpower, a super conference. This one's strange, though, because if you're Oklahoma, do you need to join the SEC? You're on cruise control. I mean, you're in the Big 12. You're not threatened, and you roll through the conference, and you play for a national title. It's like Clemson. Clemson would be a great addition for the SEC. But if I'm Clemson, no, I'll stay in the ACC. Nobody's threatening us. We get to play for a national championship. And that's what I was wondering about. If Texas, I thought, was going to join the Pac-12. If they were going to leave, they'd be the Pac-12 because they flirted with the Pac-12 a few years ago. But Oklahoma, man, I'd stay put. I don't know what the added revenue would be, and I'm sure the numbers probably point in that direction, that this would be a financial windfall. But I want to be a great team, and I could still, and maybe if those two teams leave, those schools leave, I wonder what happens to the Big 12. Because they haven't been aggressive. They haven't advanced. You lose Missouri and A&M. Not that it's a big deal losing Missouri, but it just feels like we're going to have that three superpowers, three super conferences. You know, maybe you have three 16-team conferences here. Maybe. Maybe you have the West, Southeast, and the Northeast. I don't, we're headed towards something. The question is when, and then what's it going to look like? And the suggestion I would have is, since Mark Emmert is basically an emperor with no clothes heading up the NCAA, I would have Greg Sankey, who runs the SEC. I would say, Greg, you're going to be the college football commissioner of these schools. He's the boss under the NCAA's watch, but that's what he's doing now. I mean, he is college football's commissioner. Now I could take him and say, you're going to head up everybody here, and he would be the voice. And it feels like he's already the Roger Goodell of college football when you think about it. When you go, oh, the commissioner, oh, Greg Sankey. I mean, he's far more powerful, in my mind, than Mark Emmert, who runs the NCAA. But we're headed in this direction. The question is, can you get the necessary votes for schools to say, yes, we want Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC? But I could see a couple of schools being asked to leave politely with some nice parting gifts. It's like, Vandy, you know, we've enjoyed the relationship, but it's time for you to move on. Kentucky, thank you, but we play big time football here on a yearly basis, and we have some nice parting gifts for you. Oh, we'll miss your basketball team, but I mean, what's Notre Dame do now? Does the SEC reach out to Notre Dame? Does Notre Dame go to the Big Ten? It just feels like there are a lot of chips on the table right now. And the question is, who blinks first? But Texas and Oklahoma, with the possibility that they would join the SEC, it's coming. Yeah, Paul.
Let's make it fun. The winner of the Big 12 title game gets to go right to the SEC. Like, right after the game, they leave the conference and join the SEC. Like, they drop their clothes, take the patches off, and join up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't see that one coming. But I did think, you know, now if you're the Pac-12, what happens? What do you do? You know, you sort of survived last year. Now what happens? How do you grow? Who do you add? What happens in the Big Ten? Like there's a lot, you know, there's only so many chess pieces. You just want to make sure that you have the right chess piece. So you don't want to get checkmated. You just want to be like, hey, I'm still in it. You know, the Queen's Gambit, I'm still in it. Yes, Paulie.
This is going to sound really silly, but what if USC, University of Southern California, called and said, hey, nobody cares where anybody is. If the SEC is open for business, I'd be open to giving our business because USC is a football brand as much as anybody. This is a total hypothetical.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Pac-12 has had a rough year national perception-wise.
Oh, they've had a rough couple of years here.
To say it nicely.
With Larry Scott as their commissioner. But, yeah, I just think, how do you – you got to keep moving. You know, these are all sharks. You got to keep moving. And if you don't, then you get left behind. Yes, Eden.
Geographically, it makes no sense, but not that that really matters anyway. But if the Big Ten could add Notre Dame and USC, that'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to baseball. The National League West used to have the Cincinnati Reds in with the LA Dodgers. Like we get caught up in, you know, geographically. Well, the Big Ten can't even name their conference correctly. It's the Big Ten. Like it's not 10. You know?
Yeah.
We're around. Yes, Todd.
Big Ten-ish.
Yeah, Big Ten-ish.
I know it's all about money, but do they take into consideration at all the travel that would be involved by going all over the place geographically for the kids?
Hey, the kids are getting paid now.
They're supposedly like having to have studies and labs and other things they got to do besides play ball.
First of all, they're not kids. Second of all, a lab.
The kids all got wheels up deals now.
Yeah, they're getting private airplane deals. You're going to miss, your Comm 101 class.
I'm Keaton Slovis of USC for Delta First Class Lounge.
Simply Safe has been making people feel safe at home for the last 15 years. With Simply Safe, there's always someone there who has your back to keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com, customize your system, get a free security camera. Did you guys find the quotes from Shailene Woodley's mom about Aaron Rodgers?
We're still trying to figure out how to spell Shailene, which has slowed my search.
Well, it appears that Mrs. Woodley, I think her name is, I'm going to go with Mrs. Woodley until I can figure it out.
Is it Lori?
Yeah, Lori Woodley. Well, you are locked in, dude.
To give a shout out to Lori Woodley.
Yeah.
Hey Lori.
Wow, that's, you're something.
That is pathetic.
You're the best.
That is sad. That is sad. I'm telling you, I'll take Kevin Frazier's job in a second.
Lori Woodley retweeted a rant by Stephen A. Smith that said the Packers have screwed up the Aaron Rodgers thing. They mistreated him for years. And she retweeted it and said, spoken truth above it. Like, that's
okay.
Her.
Yeah.
But so, she didn't elaborate.
Okay. Yeah. You know who is also rooting for Aaron Rodgers? Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt had this to say about Aaron Rodgers' situation.
One more, you know, chance before I let you go, just because you had mentioned it before. Did you want to make a plea to Aaron Rodgers to stay with the Packers?
I would beg Aaron Rodgers to stay. I think this year, like last year, we were very close. We were so close. You know what I mean? And I feel like this year we have had the draft. We got a lot of good players this season and a lot of guys that stayed. You know what I mean? Devontae Adams and everybody. So I need Aaron Rodgers to stay. Aaron Rodgers, please stay at Green Bay. We need him.
Courtesy of Sports Illustrated. That's awesome. And that it Usain Bolt is now involved in this. Yes, Paulie.
I just looked this up, and Usain Bolt grew up in Kingston, Jamaica, but is actually from Kenosha, Wisconsin, as a young man. That's actually not true at all.
I know. Wow.
Is he a Packer fan?
Apparently. He's begging, pleading for Aaron Rodgers to stay with Green Bay. Yes, Todd.
So he doesn't want him to bolt from Green Bay.
Okay. All right.
So make sure we have that.
I'm going to give you a plus one on that one.
So now I'm at zero.
Yeah, because you lost a couple of points prior to the start
of
the show.
Fresh start. That's cool.
Also,
it is a little Usain that he has to weigh in on this whole. What does it got to do with the Packers? Okay. He's a runner.
All right. Sprinter. All right. All right.
Half a point.
Okay.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
I know. If you're on Around the Horn, you're getting a couple of points from Tony Reale. By the way, I got some breaking news with Paulie's bet with Michael Phelps. apparently there was something left out or has been left out of the initial bet. I'll have that for you coming up.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tease.
Yes. Paulie was placed the bet with Michael Phelps that Phelps was going to swim in the Olympics. Now, he's going to the Olympics. I don't think he's swimming. And then Paulie's going to have to pay off the bet. And there's a there's an added caveat in there. We'll take a break. We'll talk some football with Albert Breer. We'll ask him what he makes of Shailene Woodley's mom now involved in the Aaron Rodgers.
NFL insider, Mrs. Yeah. Woodley.
Yes. Let's take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. I've got my M-Drive Boost and Burn already, and I'm ready to go. I got energy. Energy Boost. You stay driven. You can hear it in my voice, Todd.
I always hear it in your voice. You're always pumped up.
No, not always.
For the most part.
M-Drive Boost and Burn helps you build lean muscle, burn body fat, stay on top of your game, no matter what your age is. It's M-Drive Boost and Burn. Go to mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Also, you can find it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Join the community of driven guys who aren't ready to slow down. Fight back against the clock with M-Drive Boost and Burn. If you feel tired and you're tired of feeling exhausted mentally and physically, try M-Drive Boost and Burn. Boost energy, burn fat. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Try M-Drive Boost and Burn for yourself. And you can also pick it up at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Some surprising information that's been left out of the Paulie versus Michael Phelps bet. Have that for you coming up. Albert Breer tweeted the following. There's nothing more college football than Big 12 schools fighting over penalties for Oklahoma players flashing the horns down sign at Texas players, while Oklahoma and Texas secretly are conspiring to leave the conference together. As we welcome in Albert Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback, what do you make of this with Texas and Oklahoma thinking about joining the SEC?
I'm more of like a bystander. I love the circus. You know what I mean? Like I just like the absurdity of college football. It's great. And I mean, I guess this is where we're going though, right? Like without being somebody who covers it day to day, it just, Dan, it sort of feels like at some point, and I think we've like been talking about this for 15 or 20 years, and I love college football, right? All you got to do is look over my shoulders to see that. But I think this is like where we've been going for a while now, right? Like where eventually all of the big powerhouse schools, the big powerhouse conferences are going to separate themselves from the rest of the sport. And I mean, this feels like that, right?
Yeah. But I wonder what's going to happen with Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, USC,
yeah,
maybe Oregon. You know, you don't want to get left out. It's a game of musical chairs and then music stops and you go, wait a minute, what happened? You don't have a chair to sit down on.
But don't you think like the USC's, Michigan's, Ohio State's, those schools I think are protected because those are like self-sustaining brands, right? Like I'd be more worried if I was like an Iowa or if I was like a Washington, right? Like the teams that have sort of, that are been really, really good in the past, but maybe aren't like self-sustaining brands where they can go out and sell themselves as a singular entity. Like Ohio State and Michigan and USC, they could get Notre Dame television deals, couldn't they? If they wanted to on their own, like I probably, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, but there are those other schools, I think like that's the thing is it's like, if you're like, say you're Illinois, are you worried about something happening to you similar to what might happen to say Kansas now, right? Like it just sort of feels like that's the those would be the schools where I think, you know, that you'd have to be worried about. The big powerhouse brand names, I think, are probably going to be okay either way.
And you have probably, and I maintain you're probably going to have three super conferences and maybe have 16 teams in each of them, and that's it. You just cap it at that. You know, a program like Vandy, where, you know, they're going to get parting gifts and say, see you later. But
yeah,
imagine if the NFL did this. If all of a sudden you said, hey, we're going to bring in Robert Kraft goes, let's bring in the Giants. You know, we want them to be part of our conference here. You know, these blue bloods, the Cowboys, how valuable.
I guess that's isn't that the way English soccer works, though, with relegation?
I love relegation.
Right? Like what if the NFL split into three and you had relegation?
Is there any expansion on the horizon with the NFL?
I don't think so. Just because I think the NFL owners are like, so where they are, like they came to a point, I think 15 years ago or so, where it was, we've grown up as much as we can, right? So like domestically, the way the product's been produced over the last, you know, however many decades, like we've maxed that out. And so now we've just got to add inventory, right? So everything was growing out. That's what London is. That's what going back to LA is. That's 17 games, expanding the playoffs, all of those different things. You know, but they've done it within the context of 32 teams. And the key there is that pie that they're talking about. You know, Jerry always says, grow the pie. Well, if you're splitting it 32 ways and you're growing it, and then maybe you're splitting it 34 ways at 36 ways, now you got to grow the pie that much more. So I think if they were ever going to go into like talking about expanding again, like the growth would have to be exponential financially, where, you know, splitting it 34 ways or 36 ways would mean more of a share for each of the teams than splitting it 32 ways. And you're not going to do that by going into some middling market. You know what I mean? Like you have to go to some place that's really going to add a lot of value. So the only way I really see that happening is if it's international.
What about relocation?
You've heard more grousing, I think, over the last maybe decade or so about teams pulling their weight, you know, and the Cincinnati's of the world, and, you know, how like Buffalo had the owner's name in the stadium for that long, and how Cincinnati still has the name of the founder of the team in the stadium, and how they're not like doing rights deals, and they're not pulling every lever financially, and they're dragging the other teams down to begin with because they're smaller markets. So could we eventually get there? Maybe. I think what's protected a lot of those teams has been the stadium boom. And so many of those stadiums are like relatively new. And so, you know, like Indianapolis, for example, would be a city where you would look and you would say, all right, like, is this city pulling its weight? Well, they built a stadium a little over 10 years ago. So I think like the idea of moving those teams with LA off the table now really becomes a matter of when those stadiums sort of age out. And I think we're still a ways away from that. Like Cincinnati stadium's what, 20 years old now? And I'm not picking on the Bengals, but you know, there are stadiums that are getting a little older now. You know, when those stadiums are 30, 35 years old, maybe we're talking about something else. Again, my caveat on that would be the same, where the international part of it, I think, could come into play, where a city, where, like, you know, we've talked about Jacksonville forever. Like whenever they're ready to go to London, I think that's in a different category than moving a team domestically.
We're talking Albert Breer, the senior NFL reporter for the Monday Morning Quarterback. What intrigued you out of Cowboys camp yesterday with Jerry Jones? Anything catch your attention?
Yeah, the Jimmy Johnson thing, definitely. I mean, and I know that's not about the here and the now, but the fact that, you know, he basically conceded they're going to put him in the Ring of Honor. I don't think most people know that Jimmy's not in the Ring of Honor in Dallas.
I know.
Which just seems absurd, right?
Yeah. That seems a little petty.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the fact that he conceded, and I think he said that, like, he doesn't want to do it this year because they want to honor Jimmy for getting in the Hall of Fame this year. So they want to do a separate ceremony for it, which is fair. But the fact that he's conceding that it's going to be done got my attention. Now, as far as, like, the here and the now and the Cowboys, like, today, I think Mike McCarthy saying that Dak Prescott's full go is huge, because I can remember when that injury happened, and I can remember talking to people in January and February where there was definitely some quiet concern. I mean, I guess even just how Dak was moving around at that point, you know? And so this was more, I think, you know, this was more than like a torn ACL or somebody blowing out their Achilles. Like, this was something where there weren't a ton of guarantees on what he was going to look like coming back. So I think the fact that he's full go for the start of training camp is enormous, enormous news, even if it's what we expected all along.
Then you got Steelers camp. That's opened up, and those two will meet in the Hall of Fame game. I still go back to the Steelers went all in on improving their running game. And I didn't know if that's really what they needed to improve upon. And you could get a running back, and we've devalued running backs. I like Najee Harris, but do I like him at that spot for the Steelers? That it came as a little bit of a surprise. How about you?
Yeah, and I think a piece of that is like the need to take the pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders. Like, I think it's an acknowledgement he can't carry the team anymore. And in a lot of ways, I mean, I guess the parallel you could, you know, draw us to the 90s Broncos, you know, when what Terrell Davis did for John Elway at the end of his career. You know, I think they feel like Ben Roethlisberger because of his experience, the inventory he has mentally, you know, his big game experience, all that different stuff. Like, they can still win with him, but he can't carry the team anymore. And so, you know, I think that it's an acknowledgement, like, you know, we're pretty good at receiver. And if we get him a back and we create easy completions for him, he's going to take less hits. And so the equation there for Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert was, like, how can we make it so this is less about Ben Roethlisberger and more about the team around him lifting him up? Now, the one thing that I think everybody has sort of glossed over the last 6 months, Alejandro Villanueva's gone, yeah. David DeCastro's gone, Maurkice Pouncey's gone, and Mike Munchak, who is the, you know, line coach who put all of that together 5 years ago, is gone too. So I think so much of where the Steelers go is going to ride on their ability to support Ben Roethlisberger and not ask too much of Ben Roethlisberger at his age. I think getting Najee Harris was a piece of that. The bigger question to me is, can they fix the offensive line on the fly? And the Steelers have earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to drafting and developing, but there's going to be a lot of pressure on a couple of young guys up front to get it done.
The team that had the best offseason, the team that had the worst offseason?
The team that had the best offseason, I would say the team that had the best offseason, God, you know, I would almost go Rams, but they just lost Cam Akers, you know, so it would seem like I don't know. I have a hard time going with them. And the Bucs are an easy answer because they bring everybody back. I'm going to give you a little bit of a curveball. I'm going to say the Chargers. I like their head coach a lot, Brandon Staley. And I think, like, they quietly fixed their offensive line in a very pragmatic way where they didn't overreach for anybody. They got, I think, guy who some people would argue is the best center in the league, Corey Linsley. Yeah. And they drafted a left tackle in Rashawn Slater, who no one thought was going to be there at 13. So they got good value in free agency. They got good value at left tackle. They were able to fix both of those spots without going crazy. And then on top of that, you know, they lose Hunter Henry at tight end. But I think you could argue if Jared Cook stays healthy, he could be an upgrade at that position. So I just look at them and what they've done to support their young quarterback, Justin Herbert. I think the Chargers had an awfully good offseason. Bad offseason, Houston. I'm so I like and I like a lot of what Nick Caserio has done there, but I think going through what you went through with Deshaun Watson, all of the stuff with with Jack Easterby. I think that this you put a lot on the plate of David Culley in his first year in Houston. So I think it's hard to answer it any other way than it's the Houston Texans who had the toughest offseason. Now, I think Nick Caserio has a chance to be a brilliant general manager. So he's got a chance to turn it around. I think he brought like some really underrated, like, you know, competitive free agents into the building. But like, I don't know how that's better than a 3 or 4 win team, which, I mean, look, you know, you win 3 or 4 games. If you're competitive and you're able to establish something program wise, maybe you trade Deshaun Watson for a King's ransom. And then, you know, we get to April and they're looking at Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell and all those different guys in the draft. So, I mean, you know, part of it's sort of where the franchise is, but yeah, I don't think you'd argue they had a very good offseason based on everything that happened.
Always great to talk to you, Albert. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter. He's the lead content strategist for the Monday Morning Quarterback. Yeah, it's interesting with the Texans. Do you want to be good this year? Do you want to be competitive? Get the number one pick. You can take a quarterback. You can trade your quarterback. Get draft picks. You could actually get ready for the next 5 years. And it will start with Deshaun Watson. Can you trade him? And when can you trade him, if possible? The other part of the offseason, like Tom Brady has had an interesting offseason. He got everybody back. He's been on fire on Twitter. He did a town hall conversation with Jim Gray. He talked about motivation. I'm always fascinated with older players where they get motivated, need to get motivated. How do I get motivated? Here is Tom Brady on the motivation that he has even now going into this season.
And there's no better place for me to go than where I actually went was the Bucks. And
but you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
The team? No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams.
You think
know,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested. And yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, what I think we realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it's it'd be a no brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
He brought up Gretzky. He brought up Jordan. Jim Gray didn't. Tom did. Usually that's where the host, the interviewer will say, do you see yourself as Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky? Oh, no, don't put me in a class with those guys. Tom's like, nope, I'm going to bring him up. I'm Gretzky. I'm Jordan. And he's right, but it's weird to hear him. This has been Brady unplugged. Like, it makes you wish we would have had a little bit more of this in New England. And then you hear him where he's telling you. Now, he sort of danced around the topic of the teams that passed on him. I just know, as we broke the news on this show, that the Chicago Bears were interested in Tom Brady. Or he was interested in them. There were three teams. But maybe they weren't. Now, I don't know that information. I just know from a extremely reliable source that the Bears were one of the three teams. Yes, Seton.
Hearing him now on this like tour that he's doing the last season or so, you get a sense of how much controversy he's avoided over all these years of not doing interviews. Because now it's like anytime he says something even remotely, it's like, whoa, did you hear what Tom just said?
Yeah. And I would love to have known at the time how he really felt about the Garoppolo situation. Because he's given you everything now, or at least he's not afraid to touch on a topic now. Whereas back then, he'd be like, no, good friends, great competitor, wish him well. Yes, he.
I don't know if it was in this interview or not, but he also like recently just said that somebody asked about like, who is that MF-er that you were talking about? And he's like, well, I'm going to keep that private. I'm going to keep that quiet, but that guy knows who it is.
Yeah.
So the quarterback he's referring to is like, oh, dang, he was talking about me. He knows who it is. Wow.
Yeah, and you wonder, is this Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Derek Carr? Is it Mitchell Trubisky? You know, you're just going like, wait, you're gonna stay with that MF-er instead of taking me? It'll come out eventually. Yes, Paulie.
Would it be fair to say there's not another athlete anywhere, including LeBron James, who could compare himself to Michael Jordan career-wise and get no criticism for it? If any other athlete, Lionel Messi, even if LeBron, who gets criticized for everything, would have said like, hey, well, I'm Gretzky, Jordan, me. There's very little criticism today of Brady because he's factually right.
Yes, Todd.
Was he so suffocated in New England that finally all this pent up, you know, personality and saying stuff is finally coming out of him when he was so much the other way all these other years?
I think it was the Patriot way, and you buy into the Patriot way. That means you adhere to their rules, whether they're written rules or unwritten rules. But then, you know, Brady was bigger than the Patriot way. We wanted more. We wanted to find out more about him. Then you marry one of the most famous women in the world. Hey, who wants me now? Hey, I'm leaving New England. Hey, I'm tired of all of this. Like, you started to hear just like little pieces, little crumbs that came out of there. Hey, I went over to Mr. Kraft's house. Hey, I called Bill Belichick. Like, even I want, I, there's still details there that I'd love to find out. There's still a lot more there. Whether he does a true tell-all when he's all said and done. And he's talked about, his trainer talked about him playing, what, three more years? So he'd be 46? I'm old enough to remember George Blanda, who was approaching 50. Now, he looks 70, but George Blanda was a kicker, primarily a kicker for the Raiders, but he also played quarterback. Brady looks like he's 33. But George Blanda, he looked like he was 70. Yes, Todd.
But if you're going to play for the silver and black, it would make sense for a 50-year-old to look 70. That would be the perfect
okay.
team for
All right.
him.
All right.
Half a point.
All right. I'm going to give you, Tony Reale gave you 1 point.
I'll take it.
All right. We'll come back. We got our play of the day, and something was left out of, in the details of the bet that Paulie had with Michael Phelps. This is 5 years ago, right, Paulie?
Yeah, I think Michael was on the show maybe 5 years, 2016.
Yeah. 5 years ago, and the initial bet that Paulie had with Michael Phelps that Michael Phelps would unretire and swim again in the Olympics. We'll have that for you coming up. We'll settle on our poll question and have phone calls as well. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Kimbrel's pitch. Yachty swings and he hits the ball to right field. That's hit well. It's going to get down. It's a ground rule double and a Redbird winner. The ball bounced over the wall. The Cardinals beat the Cubs 3-2 in 10 innings.
Courtesy of KMOX, that's the Cardinals Radio Network. Molina's walk-off hit officially goes into the books as a single, as he only touched first base on the play. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn, supplement that helps you boost energy and burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Get some phone calls here. Settle on the poll question. What are we going to go with today, Todd?
Right now, we have a couple of choices. First one being, do you care if Texas and Oklahoma move to the SEC? Your choices are, I'd be devastated, or, and why would that bother me? That would be the first one. Think about that a little bit. Second one is, would you be bitter if your star college teammate makes lots of dough? You better believe it, bro, or nah, it's all good.
I like how you add a little texture to it.
I don't
it.
Want to be yes, no. I want to like, give it a little flavor. It's boring just with yes, no.
Do I care if Texas and Oklahoma move to the SEC? Yeah, I do. As a football fan, I'd be curious how it looks, how it plays out. You're going to have 12 teams in the playoffs, and now you could have six of those teams coming from the SEC. But that's where, if I'm Oklahoma, I'm guaranteed a spot just about every year in the playoffs. Guaranteed. If I stay in the Big 12. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to the Big 12. If Texas and Oklahoma exit stage left, I don't know what happens. Do those schools then go, can we get into another conference? Can we go into the Pac-12? Big 10 open for business? Does the SEC then ask a couple of schools to leave? What's it, the ACC? What happens there? Yes, Eden. Oh, did I?
Yeah. Okay. That was a good point.
Okay.
Made.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Sorry.
That was a good point.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
We could get to the point, though, where the SEC title game is bigger than the playoffs. And I think that's what they want. It almost feels like Greg Sankey and the SEC want to get so many teams where it feels like the entire college football is the SEC. And they became, and what if college football becomes like 30 teams that are battling for the spots? Like, it becomes like the NFL, where it's 30 for 16 spots.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the direction.
Yeah.
Over the next decade, maybe.
Yeah, but then you're not, you know, you have programs that are good, and then all of a sudden, they're not good. And then what happens, like an Indiana football program, you know, got on the radar last year. Then what do you do? Can you have somebody relegated? That I'd be curious about that as well. All right, let's set the stage here for the Michael Phelps bet. This is 5 years ago. We had Michael Phelps on, and Paulie kept saying Michael Phelps is going to swim again. I said, Paulie, he's not going to swim again. He retired. No, he's going to swim. Hey, you know what he's going to do? He's going to want to swim so his son gets to see him swim in the Olympics.
Still believe it.
And I said, how about watch videotape? And Paulie goes, no, I'll place a bet. And the bet was that Paulie would wear a Speedo during the show if Michael Phelps did not swim in the Olympics. You left out one other thing that you said you would do with the bet with Michael Phelps, and this is how it sounded 5 years ago.
Whatever you wear, I wear, big guy. And but the thing is, if you race
hey,
in the
don't
Olympics,
don't worry, guys. I'll send it over.
Oh God, I got 3.5 years to get in shape. But if you race in the next Olympics, you have to come here and do my job for the day, dressing in what I wear. You're Dan's producer.
You
for
get
the day.
To be the co-host of the show. Is that really a win? Yeah. Is that a win for Michael though, Paulie? I mean,
he's got to suffer a little bit. A day with us,
yeah.
Wings and beer.
That's okay. So you have to shave your chest. You got to wax your chest, and you have to wear the Speedo. Right? You have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. There was the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good catch by you. I would have done it.
Yep. Paulie has to wear a Speedo and get his chest waxed.
Now, if Michael corrected us, it's a Phelps brand suit because he does not work for Speedo. He has his own brand of suits.
Yeah.
But the waxing thing, as much as I'd like to weasel my way out of it, I don't think
oh
I can.
Oh, my God. This is going to be like 40-year-old virgin.
Kelly Clarkson!
I hate to say, but if memory serves, I don't know that Paul is all that chestily hairy.
Chestily hairy? Yes. It sounds
it's odd that I know that I think I know this already.
I have seen Paulie with his shirt off.
Go ahead, Paul. Take your shirt off.
Yeah, take your shirt off.
I got to save the gold for no puns.
All of us.
Everybody, the rest of the show, no shirts.
Yeah, everybody take your shirts and skins.
I would say if you were ranking my chest on 1 to 10 of hairiness,
yeah.
I'm at most a 2.
Okay.
I'm lightly sprinkled.
I'm going to guess the toddler.
Oof.
That would be painful.
Yeah,
I'm glad that bet does not involve me. I'm probably in the 8-plus.
Yeah, his looks like
Robin Williams.
The ivy at Wrigley Field.
I actually tried shaving it a few months ago, and I didn't put any shaving cream or anything on. I just started doing it, and I got all scratched up and an itchy rash. It was not handled well.
Wait, why were you shaving your chest?
I just took a good look at myself in the mirror, and I felt like some things had to be done other than some weight loss that's needed. But it looked a little too much going on there, and I didn't like it. And also, like when you're working out or trying to work out, it does look a little nicer the less hair you have. Not that I'm so defined chest-wise, I didn't handle it well. I was using like a razor blade.
Yes, boy.
Maybe Todd could have taken the chest hair and put it on his head and just transferred it and had the fro back.
Wow. Too soon.
Wow.
That's always going to be too soon.
Yeah.
There's no date where that's not
20 years too soon.
I know. All right. So Paulie's got to wax his chest, and he's got to wear one of Michael Phelps' bathing suits.
All right.
Kelly Clarkson! The best. It's the funniest thing.
God.
But now we have to find somebody who will wax your chest.
I have the feeling you're going to find somebody. My guess is you're going to put all your powers
yes,
into
I
it.
I am. I'm going to spend the rest of today on that.
And the weekend.
Yes, yes.
Get up early.
Yep. Pat Connaughton of the Milwaukee Bucks will join us, and we'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go here on the Dan Patrick Show. Close out first hour with our friends from Sleep Number. Now, it's not just about your sleep number. My sleep number setting is 100. Yours is going to be different. You like it a little more firm. You like it a little fluffier, softer. You decide, and you can change it. They have everything there to help you understand how to get a great night's sleep. Also, the Sleep IQ technology. The next day, you can check the information on your bed. It'll tell you how well you slept, and you can adjust accordingly. But go into a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Discover.com/Patrick. See what they have to offer. Also, they have great tips on getting a great night's sleep. You can create a sleep routine for yourself, and you're going to get better sleep, quality sleep. In fact, Sleep Number 360 smart bed owners featuring Sleep IQ technology get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year. Discover proven quality sleep right now. Sleep Number 360 smart bed starting at $1,099 for a limited time at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick.